Okay. Welcome, you palookas. Let's get this thing started. Megaplexes, as rigid and electronic as circuit boards, dot the landscape of the rocky planet of Abalon, the Forge. Each is encased in a thick dome, transparent enough to allow a view of glittering lights and the constant bustle of high-tech vehicles both on and above the streets. The largest of these metropolises stretches for hundreds of miles across and is home to millions of life forms. It's easy for a single story to get lost among the countless others of this city of Striving, this metal city. It's raining now on Striving, a gentle patter caused by the venting of the Megaplex's atmospheric condensers. And though it isn't quite natural, it doesn't mean the streets and the pedestrians get any less wet. Most locals have reasoned enough to stay out of the rain on nights like these, unless they have business to take care of. The rain begins to slow, giving way to a gray fog that clings at the feet of Striving skyscrapers like an affectionate squawks. The commuter starship cuts through this murk as it enters the city's dome, its halogen lights marking its landing spot on the starport. Its many passengers come flooding out, some hefting bags of luggage as they make their way to the terminal. The last to disembark stands briefly at the end of the boarding ramp, taking in his surroundings. Tim, tell us a little bit about your character. Who are you and what do you look like?
The name's Rain. Dexter Rain. He's a middle-aged man. A little bulkier, a little wider than he is tall. But in all, he has stepped foot on this new planet from Absalon Station. Really don't like space travel. Makes my stomach do the heebie-jeebies.
You're here because you got a message from an old friend. And you've got that on your pad, you know, maybe on your comm unit, bringing it up just to refresh yourself of what you what it is. So let's hear it.
So yeah, Rain takes out the pad and he's consulting it again. You can tell that he's not comfortable with the pad, but he's good at it, but it's just like it's small in his big hands and he's just like fiddles with it a bit too much. And he opens it up and it reads. It's an encrypted message log. It says, "Friend, I recognize it has been some time since our last communication. I hope this transmission finds you well and finds you at all. We live in exciting times, and I believe there is a chance, 14.6% or more, damned egghead, that this communication is intercepted before you receive it, which is exactly why I've asked you to meet me. There's much to tell you. I can't share over a comm unit or even with encryption." Interesting. "Meet me at the Downgrid Striving. In Downgrid Striving, I have a reservation at the Analog Cafe, and my tab should be open when you arrive." Good. I'm parched. "Meet me there in 2 days exactly." Checks the chronometer and like nods like he still made it. "Expect company, as I have invited others." Oh, great. "You can recognize one another by this passphrase, incredulous static." Jesus Christ. "Your friend, Tier 99, Professor, Polytechnica." Prof, what have you gotten yourself into this time? Tries to put it in his pocket. He fiddles a little bit and he puts it in and shrugs up, takes out a cigarette, looks around for fuel and lights it and goes
roll that reflex save, it explodes now. That message came exactly 2 nights ago from a courier bot who took a biometric scan before delivering it, and as you sort of opened it up the first time, the encryption quickly dissolved like a sugar cube in a hot cup of coffee. And after reading it, you hop the fastest, cheapest shuttle you could find, arriving now on the night in question. And as you make your way to Analog, you see the silhouettes of the surrounding skyscrapers barely visible through the fog, like looming giants. Agile maintenance bots skitter across your path, their silver chassis reflecting the neon lights of the many businesses of Downgrid Striving. It's basically like downtown. Crowded into a niche on the first two floors of one of the dozens of lofty towers, Analog is a boxy cafe with frosted windows and a patio jutting out over the street and into the fog. You step inside. It's a quiet establishment. It's nearly full with dozens of patrons enjoying drinks and meals at dimly lit tables around a sculpted synthwood bar at the center. A sleek silver console beeps at you with a friendly tone, its screen offering to put you on a wait list for the next available table, about like 10, 15 minutes. But there's an unobtrusive side menu that allows you to input your basically pick the fact that you have a reservation here with Tier 99 Professor. Holographic green arrows appear on the floor to lead you upstairs and through a low archway to a private dining room. Windows overlook the street below, slightly obscured by fog. You aren't the first to arrive. The professor's nowhere to be seen. Now, four of you are here. Which one of you is in the process of saying something possibly very, almost, maybe one could even call it incriminating later on. Maybe you're having an argument or you're yelling about something. Maybe you're doing something shifty. Which one of you would like to volunteer to be the shiftiest of the bunch?
I mean, I'm probably pretty shifty. Let's be honest.
Okay, fair enough. All right.
Yeah.
Who are you playing? What do you look at?
Sitting here, kind of mid screaming, more or less, while holding a what'd you call it? Like a little thing of whiskey. I don't know if this cafe serves alcohol. I'm going to assume it does.
Oh, it does.
Because this is the kind of great. She's got like a little glass of whiskey. This kind of young android woman with this kind of blue purple hair. It's kind of tied up into this weird loose bun. And she just like that. She picks up her glass and sips it, slams it down on the table and is like, look, I'm telling you, this is the next greatest deal. Look at this. And you notice she's holding a magazine ad for the TV series she is on. pointing at an image of herself playing Dr. Lena Quark on the great medical drama Abalon Anatomy.
Are you dressed in a way that like are you recognized? Do you think you're recognizable as a Hollywood star? Do you want to be like, or you're a super incognito wearing sunglasses or something?
I mean, I'm not. Yeah, I don't think I'm trying to dress particularly incognito at the moment. I'm not like, you know, wearing an extremely obtrusive outfit, but just like a standard kind of dark, you know, leather outfit or whatever. And I'm not like covering my face or anything.
Fair enough. Now, who are you saying this to John or Rue or Jocelyn?
I am certain that whose bows are lit within has never watched this show. And the moment you walked in and were like, began talking about being a star on this, as someone who does not watch Holovids at all, they have come over because they believe you wholeheartedly.
Perfect. Great.
Whose bows are lit within is a Kizar Solarian. And they have sort of like a like yellow to pink seed pod head. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Over like sort of like beech tree-esque bark body, so like a pale white with gray. Mm-hmm. They are not like sitting and looking at this, like they are like sort of almost like stood over you, like over your shoulder, looking very intently at this ad that you are showing them.
And as you're saying this, oh gosh, I forgot your name already. Voss, right? Yeah.
Yes, Voss.
As you're saying this, Voss, as you're talking to this Kizar, you know, in walks this human man. Again, wider than he is tall.
Human. I haven't seen one of those around here in ages.
He's like stands there, basically standing there with his glass.
The cigarette, yeah.
He drops it on the ground and he stamps it out right in the ground. And he looks around and like there's speakers. I would assume they're like piping music around and stuff, right? Mm-hmm.
This room is I would say it's a little quieter. Like there's some music in the main hall, but this is like a private dining room. So it's you can just barely hear it.
And it kind of
nice lilting.
Okay. He sizes everybody up and down. Like, he just scans the entire room. And then he's like, I think the speakers in this place are off. Isn't that some incredulous static coming out of that thing? And he's and he just stare, and he stares at he stares at all of you.
Well, you're staring at a Kizar, an android, a contemplative, and a skittermander.
I mean, I said,
what a Starfinder party we have!
What a great Starfinder party!
Yeah. He's just like expectantly, like he's just kind of, and then he looks, he like.
I would certainly
like, he ducks
say,
himself out of the room, and he's like.
The contemplative floats forward, and your cigarette butt rises from the ground and tosses itself into a nearby receptacle.
Amazing.
Thank you.
Hey,
yes,
Jocelyn,
incredulous,
who are you? What do you look
static,
like?
What do you know of it? Speak, human.
And then his internal monologue. I walk into the room. It's full of a bunch of freaks. The floating brain took exception with taking the butt of my cig and throwing it away. Neat freak. And I also have like Skittermander, android, which is probably the most normal thing out of the bunch, and some kind of goddamn tree. I don't know what's going on. please, God, don't let this be the group.
Well, as you know,
so about
God
that
is a cruel entity on these ways. I think we, at this point, you know, everyone's kind of maybe nodding, you recognizing this this passphrase that you've given. And
all right, so he like looks back out in the hall, and then he comes in. Is there a door on it? Close the door or slide?
Yeah, there's
it,
there's a door. That, yeah.
Okay, so yeah. He closes it, and he's like, "So where's the prof?"
The rest of you have gotten here, maybe, you know, a scattering here and there of the past like 10, 15, 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. Professor hasn't shown up at all yet. Before we go a little any further, Jocelyn, you did sort of, you know, say that you're a contemplative. What's your character's name? What do you look like?
My name, fellow friends of the professor, for I suppose you must be, is Together in Electric Dreams, but you may call me Dreams for short. And I have not seen the professor for almost 80 hours. He has missed the bowling league tournament. We had to forfeit. If you know his whereabouts, speak.
I haven't seen the professor for years.
John, who are you? What do you look like?
Yeah, I'm playing Zabi Fregorlius. I am a very pale blue Skittermander whose fur is clearly starting to age and turn a little silver. You can tell he's kind of rough around the edges. He's got, you know, pieces of an ear kind of clipped off, and, you know, he's wearing kind of a set of overalls, and they're not quite clean and pressed. Clearly they used to be a uniform of some sort. You can see it says like Transit Authority Biff on it. Not his, he's kind of, when every time somebody talks about the static, he looks around at the speakers trying to figure out what's wrong with them, and they're perfectly fine. I don't. Oh yeah, that's right. That's a damn phrase. that's Zabi.
Terrific. And what did, repeat what you just said? Your character just said. Before I interrupted you and made you describe him.
Oh.
You haven't seen the professor for years.
I haven't seen the professor for years. Ever since I kind of got taken out of the excavation business there. You know, I used to work on the tunnels, and, you know, the old tunnels, when we're just trying to get from here to there, you just blow things up and make a big hole. apparently when you're around ruins, they want more delicate operations. I don't know. I think the bigger, the better. And apparently, yeah, Professor and I, we didn't see eye to eye. He was a great guy and all, but yeah, we kind of had a falling out.
Oh.
Yep.
I remember you.
Ruh-roh.
Oh, so you two know each other.
Well, maybe.
Not particularly well, but it is very hard to forget someone who tries to explode a glacier.
Fair. They were shaped charges, I'll say. Just a little. I had the calculations off a little bit. That's all.
Nobody got hurt and everything was fine.
I'm glad you think so.
When was the last time you've seen the professor?
The last time I saw them was their last archaeological dig. I led them out to the ice wells, but that was months ago.
Well, I think it's time for one more introduction.
Alex, is that me? Is it me?
Yes.
Yes. So I have to imagine this starts as you're sort of having this conversation. You hear the bell ring on the door downstairs, and you hear sort of muffled voices, maybe a high laugh. And then you hear the clacking of heels on the stairs. Clack, clack, clack. The door there, the Dex has closed, slides open in the archway and reveals, striding through the archway, a gorgeous rat. Long, flowing blonde tresses cascade from her furry head. She's got legs that go all the way down to the floor, you know, like 8 inches or so. Yeah.
She had legs. She had legs that went up to, I don't know, halfway up my shin.
Yeah.
Seven, I have a victory. I have to be serious. She is dressed in what you can tell she clearly thinks is inconspicuous for this bar, which is to say an impeccably tailored pinstripe suit in a femme cut that highlights her natural assets, her tail. Her nose twitches. She takes in the room. She looks over all of you, gives you the up and down, twirls a chair and, you know, sort of hops up on it and joins you all at the table and says, "Well, well, well, of all the gin joints in all the town, who'd have thought we'd all be meeting here? You folks looking for some tech help, too? My comm unit has just been plagued by the most incredulous static lately. Oh, boo."
Man, there's that phrase again.
Any, yeah, Dex just sort of slack jawed, like, and in his head he's like, "Oh, you have got to be kidding me." And he grabs the drink and goes,
"Yeah, yeah,"
and then reaches for the bottle and then pours another one.
And she just sort of takes this all in, and then she, I think, extends her hand to you very delicately, and she says, "Now you, I don't think I've seen about town before. Patsy Van Dyne of the Van Dynes, yes, those Van Dynes, at your pleasure." She sort of extends her hand for you to kiss it.
He takes it and kind of goes...
shakes it very gently, like,
because he's got huge hands.
Yeah,
and he's like, "Nice to meet you, Miss Van Dyne.
Pleasure to make your acquaintance. Detective, I take it?" And she sort of gives you a look.
"Dex Rain. Just came in off of Absalom Station.
Well,
got the professor's message and hightailed it over here. Lickety split.
Man of action. I like that. I take it we all received such a communique from our old friend."
Yes, yeah. Indeed. I certainly have as well.
Takes out the pad and slaps it down.
Oh, I don't trust those little computery things. You know, I prefer analog, you understand. Yes, it's been, it's been months since I've seen Tier 99 Professor. It's been ages since they came to one of my little soirees. I don't know why they'd be contacting me. Although I suppose it's always useful to contact me. I know so many people. But this professor not arrived yet.
He has not.
Hmm.
And what's the deal with his name anyway? It's like all backwards.
What, Tier 99 Professor? Well, I'm sure they selected
it. It should be Professor.
I'm sure they selected it for a very good reason. I wouldn't know, of course. I don't pry into people's personal details like that.
Oh, why? It's all the fun.
I always assumed it was a standing. Like, they were the 99th tier of professors.
Oh.
He was a pretty smart dude.
Now, is 99 the top tier or the bottom tier? Do you work your way up to one or up from one?
I think it's like levels in a vid game. Higher is better.
Yes, suppose so.
Well, I'd hate to meet tier 100 professor then.
Perhaps that's why they've called us here. Perhaps they've leveled up.
Oh, ooh. A celebration. That makes sense.
Like one of that your birthdays.
I don't know. I don't buy it at all. His message, he was quite spooked by something. He talking on me. If you read his message here, and he like, you know, he opens it back up. And he's like, he thinks that it's going to be intercepted. He thinks that that someone's listening. He doesn't want to talk about anything in person. I mean, hell, that guy was a pretty smart cookie. I think he would have been crowing for tomorrow's breakfast if he would graduated to the next level. But I think something's going on and needs our help.
Such a thing. Yes. Yeah. He would not have kept it private.
At the center of the table, there's a holovid projector, and it leaps up to this very kind of like very simplistic, boxy looking hologram that greets you all as sort of the server. Says very politely, you know, if you would just fill in the algorithm sent to your comm unit so we can let the chef know of any dietary restrictions or allergies. And then
And
then your food will be out momentarily then.
Perhaps the professor has ordered for us. How kind.
So do y'all just basically fill out this? I've got a form for y'all to fill out right now. No.
Oh boy, the Torx simulator. Hooray.
No, that's,
oh boy.
We're not playing Paranoia. This is Starfinder.
We don't know that.
I have made people fill out forms for Paranoia, of course.
You're supposed to.
What the viewers don't know is that Jason did tell us to bring four backup characters, so.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Look, you never know. See? It's a dangerous world out there. You know, after you fill that out and waited like just a few minutes, seemingly hidden sort of hatches in the wall sort of open up and like little conveyor belts come out and sort of serve food and even more drinks. Basically, you know, it's almost like a sushi conveyor belt, but it just sort of comes right out for you and then drops it on the table and then backs away. It is basically it seems to be, if you, you know, get this sort of, prix fix, how do you pronounce that again? I'm classy. sort of set meal, but with a, you know, if you had any dietary restrictions, they're sort of factored in, but it seems to be the boxy hologram kind of comes in and sort of explains that the chef has prepared a celebration of seasonal flavors sourced from the local ice well. And it's a four-course meal, basically. You get a snowcress salad, a cave cricket bisque for your soup, a moss-smoked albino eel for your main, and a frostberry strudel for dessert. This all comes and goes, and you eat as you want, and there's still yet no sign of the professor.
I think I would sort of... Yeah, I was just going to say, during the meal, just to make polite conversation as we learn that it is from the ice wells, I would ask, has anyone here spent any time in the ice wells? I hear they're marvelous. And I look very pointedly at the two people who I know will say yes to that.
Yeah.
Well, I was born there, so you might say I've spent a fair amount of time in the ice wells.
My, wasn't that cold?
I frankly don't think I feel cold in the same way you do.
Oh, that's lucky.
But sometimes the edges get a little bit frosty. It is true.
Even as you say ice wells and you have this conversation, a vid sort of like gets projected on the wall opposite the windows, basically where the door is, that is showing sort of like, it's almost like an ice wells documentary, showing the sweeping sort of glacial forests that can be down there. The frozen, you know, basically that the lakes, water and cliffs and whatnot. And it's very sort of, you know, it takes up the entire wall. So it's a little bit like mini IMAX. Yeah, and gives you a little bit of a feel that like you're there a little bit, you know, as it sweeps across the plains, very much planet, you know, planet Earth. And there's a little sort of note that comes up in the maybe it's the hologram, dining table hologram says, you know, basically any synthetics would wish to partake of the full sensory surround may plug into their table.
Oh, that sounds like a lot of fun. I want to plug into the table.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else? I mean, like, you know, again, the dessert comes, and you know, there's also coffee afterwards, there's drinks. The hologram at the table seems to assure you that, you know, that the tab is on the professor. Because you don't have to worry about any cost here.
Oh, I'm gonna get another dirty Shirley then. This is great.
It's easy awful. On that, pal. I don't know if you can handle it.
I can six fist it. What are you talking about?
It seems awfully strange to pay for a whole meal that you're not even going to attend. This isn't like the professor. I mean, they're a sweetheart after all, but this is generous for an academic salary, isn't it?
It certainly is. I also, didn't he say he wanted to talk to us about something?
Yes.
We thought of him to spend the whole meal kind of just away from us.
This smells like trouble. I don't like this.
Mm-hmm.
Were there, like, GM, are there any, like, yeah, aside from, like, I know the hologram in the middle is just sort of an ordering bot, and then the food comes out of little windows, but have we seen any, like, other, like, employees of this establishment?
Well, yeah, when you came at in, any point? When you came in, there's a bartender, and it was an android, and she was working the bar, just sort of, you know, serving drinks kind of quite analogly, one would say, instead of the way it's
analogly.
Sort of analogly, it's a word. Look it up. Look, I get to make up words for a living. So I get to make up words here as well.
Yes, of course.
Maybe we should.
I'll go have a chat with the bartender. Maybe that'll get us somewhere. See if he called and he's running late or something.
Sure. Yeah. You head downstairs and get her to it. Right now, it's getting to be a bit later. Obviously, you've had a full four-course meal. The restaurant is kind of, the patrons are kind of thinning out a little bit, but there's still some people sort of finishing up meals. It's not yet like last call or anything, but it's definitely no longer peak dining hours. And so the android is there. She is got this sort of gunmetal skin with a very blue bright blue accents. And her eyes are just fully bright blue glowing. And she's basically kind of got a sort of a red-ish suit on. Not quite a suit, just sort of something, you know, something, a nice, we almost call it like a nice t-shirt, essentially, right?
Like a blouse?
A blouse, yeah. Maybe even a step down from blouse, I would say. Very, very much, very casual. And she's, you know, in the process of maybe pouring a drink for someone else and serving it up. And she sees you at the bar and she's like, all right, what can I do for you?
I sort of like, you know, wave her over. You'll notice each of my fingers as they move kind of move in this weird, almost like double jointed way as I wave her down. Yes. Well, do you know the man who reserved the room? Have you seen him at all? Anasite guy goes by Tier 99, Professor.
Yeah. Tierney. Ah, I know him. Yeah, he's a regular around here. You know, he's been here all the time. He started coming here about 10 years ago, as a matter of fact.
Oh, yeah. All right. Have you seen him today?
Ah, no, not today.
And no calls from him or anything, no?
No.
Interesting. See, we were supposed to be meeting him here at this hour.
Oh, okay. Yeah, he reserved that room. Have tabs all paid in full. You all want some more drinks up there?
I mean, perhaps, but I should go see what everyone else says about this.
No, sure thing. Take your time. And if you need help getting a ride out of here, just let me know.
All right. Voss kind of pushes her way back into the room. Well, good news is we can completely burn through this tab. Bad news is no one's heard anything of of Tier 99 Professor.
When was the last time they heard from him?
Not today, at the least. Probably when he made the reservation.
Does anybody have his number? I mean, we have comms.
Yeah. Does anyone have his address?
Oh, darling, I've everyone's number. I presume I've got the professor's.
Let's say you ping him on the comms. You ping him on comms, there's no answer. It doesn't even get, you know, you're not left on red or anything. It doesn't pick up.
Yes, it has been this way for 80 hours since the bowling league.
Well.
Can I...
80 hours, huh?
Try to access the reservation system here with computers and see when he actually made this reservation?
Sure, yeah. You get it's clear that there's like a console here that you can use to call up maybe other videos for the wall, change the music or turn it off, or turn it up, you know, all sorts of things that allow you. But if you want to get in a little deeper than that, let's have you make a computer stream.
All right.
First roll of the campaign, don't mess it up.
I know, yeah, I'm trying. Did it work? No, it didn't work. All right.
Got this.
Are you trained it?
If you can't get this to roll on Foundry, then you've definitely failed your computer's check.
Yeah.
There it is.
I didn't do well anyway.
You're not quite able to get into the the reservation was made.
If I see you try it and I see you mess it up, I'll reach down, I brought a bag because it came from this spaceport. Mm-hmm. So I'll just reach in and pull out the hacking tools that I have, and then I'll walk over and I'm like, let me give you a crack at this.
Goodness me.
Cracking your knuckles, making a loud, sort of like almost explosive sound that echoes through the room.
Oh, yeah. So I'm going to crack six sets of knuckles.
They're smaller cracks, though. They're
such a masculine display.
You're able to kind of like get in a little bit more, Rex. Dex Rain, sorry, not Rex Dane. That's a different character.
That's also a good name.
Yeah, it's not a bad name.
It's also a great name.
It's a sign of a good private eye name if you can switch the vowels.
I cannot tell you how many names I researched for this dumb character.
look.
This so you can tell that this reservation was made a month ago, actually a full month ago, for this particular night, there is sort of another note in this reservation that also says incredulous static.
What does that mean?
Is it the computer's been invited?
Click on? Is it something to open?
Yeah. There's actually like it's like a file.
Okay. Yep. I want to take a look at it.
You click it, and it kind of like immediately begins sort of downloading into the table, the hologram display into the table. The sort of ordering bot is replaced by a glowing image of Tier 99 Professor.
Tierney.
I will. Tierney. That art I will
show you. So Dexter sees that and goes, hot damn!
Wow, I never.
No, you never. I just did. You're welcome.
He is an Abalon. He's kind of a quadruped Abalon. Oh. I mean, Anasite, sorry. And, you know,
very cool. Arm,
on the shoulder. And he's kind of got this very sort of, you know, roundish face, ovalish face with an extra sort of like monocle eye sort of off to one side. And he's
so friend shaped. Yeah.
As his, hologram sort of comes up in the middle of the thing. It's a little staticky, but it's clear. And there's a sort of a voice. His voice comes out, a voice that you all have heard before and recognize. And he says, greetings, former companions. And if you're watching this, it's because I have experienced an unexpected shutdown. Well, in organic terms, I am dead. I propose you enjoy a meal on my prepaid tab and seek emotional support with one another. Now, my shutdown is within normal range of variability. However, it has occurred prematurely and left many of my tasks incomplete. In fact, the reason I invited you out tonight was to share a new theory with you. I am being pursued by a clever adversary who intends to shut me down permanently. I had planned to ask for your protection in exchange for payment, but the scenario has evolved. Yeah, as I no longer have need of protection, I have an alternate proposal for you. Solve my murder. And at that very moment, a laser comes in through the window, cracking it a little bit and actually piercing the holographic head of Tier 99 Professor as if it were a kill shot. It goes through that, obviously, and it makes the hologram go all staticky and impacts on the far wall by the door, again, sort of singeing it very, very obviously. Something has happened and someone has killed Tier 99 Professor and is possibly even taking pot shots at you. What will you do? What will happen? Well, tune in next time and find out on our next episode of Murder in Metal City.
That's a cliffhanger.
Yeah, good cliffhanger. Woo!